All right, I'd like for you to make your way over to 2 Timothy. That'll be our text this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1. We will be in a couple of places today, as we usually are, but we'll begin with 2 Timothy chapter 1. This will be our last Sunday message of the year. Next Sunday, we're in a brand new year. So I've titled our message today, Leaving Behind the Year of Fear. Leaving Behind the Year of Fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has given us a spirit. It is His spirit. He told us to be filled with the Spirit. He said that if we were filled with the Spirit, that we would receive power. So here we're told God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but He did give us the Holy Spirit of power. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power. You get a spirit. You get the Spirit of God. You get the Spirit of power. Amen. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you get God's Spirit of love. Amen. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power. And of love, supernatural love. You know, a Christian has a capacity to love like nobody else. A forgiving love, a gracious love, a kind love, a compassionate love, an understanding love, a sacrificial love. A letting go of hurts and wounds and offenses love. A loving even of one's adversaries and enemies. You get a power, you get a spirit of God. You get the Spirit of God. You get the Holy Spirit, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. A sound mind. A mind that thinks correctly. A mind that is governed by the right influences. Amen. And not the wrong influences. Yeah. People in this world are governed by many influences, but you and I have a sound mind. It means to be governed by the right influences. That's you and me. Amen. By His grace. You're right. Not a spirit of fear. In fact, we're about to rip another page off the calendar and close the door on 2020. Bid it good riddance. Amen. Put it behind us. And as we put 2020 behind us, we're putting behind us the year of fear. Amen. And you know, it's been a year of fear. Oh, yeah. It's been a year of fear, not only in the United States, but all over the world. It's been a year of fear. It's been perhaps in many regards the most tumultuous year that I can remember in my life. It's been an unprecedented year in the fact that this coronavirus has swept the entire planet. Yeah. We've never seen anything quite like it that put the whole world on pause. Yeah. Who could have foreseen this, that 2020 would be the way it was? You know, there's 193 actual countries in the world. 193 actual countries. The coronavirus has affected 185 of them. Wow. Only 8 countries have said that they didn't have any coronavirus. And those 8 countries are tiny little minuscule countries with populations of 100,000 and less. Wow. The whole country. Of course, North Korea claims they didn't have it. But they're not quite the most trustworthy country in the world. So, but the coronavirus, while some think it is a hoax, it is not a hoax. It has left a terrible death toll in its wake. So far, right here in the United States, as of yesterday, over 330,000 people have died, they say attributed to the coronavirus. At this rate, at the present time, the rate is about 2,500 deaths a day. That's not a hoax. No. 1.7 million people dead worldwide, again, attributed to the coronavirus. It's not a hoax. These massive hospitalizations around the country and around the world, not a hoax. Crisis conditions in hospitals among nursing staff, caregivers, doctors, it's not a hoax. Worse in some places than others, to be sure, but it's a dangerous virus. We've had several members of our family who've had it. They've all said it's not like any flu they've ever had before. It's brutal. We've had a number of people in the church who've had it and recovered from it. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We haven't lost anyone in the congregation. And you know, it's just been the strangest year, like the strangest year ever. These consumer shortages. Who would have ever thought there'd be no toilet paper? I mean, we experienced that in Russia. When we went to Russia, we were told, bring your own toilet paper because, you know, you can't get it over there. And we were told the same thing in India because, you know, in India, they really have strange customs over there. And they don't use toilet paper. You know, people wear this thing around their waist, and that's what they use. And then they will run it under a hose, and then they put it back around their waist. You know, you take your toilet paper with you wherever you go. It's a strange. Customs are different. So if you want toilet paper, you got to bring your own. At least that's the way it was when I was there years ago. So, but shortages like sanitizers, I guess you could expect that. Disinfectants, masks, you couldn't get a lot of that stuff. But who would have thought that there'd be a shortage of flour, you know, just to bake with? But everybody stayed home and baked. Stayed home and ate. And then you got the COVID weight gain that, I'm going to blame that. Who would have thought that there'd be a shortage of meats? I mean, I don't think it affected us down here as much as it did other places. But, you know, it closed down factories, meat processors, all of that. And so some places had pretty severe shortages. Then, of course, we had something that I never experienced before in my life. Perhaps some of the older generation did, like some of the massive government shutdowns of certain businesses, industries, you know, maybe nothing like this since World War II, which was before my time. Glenn could remember probably, but the rest of us, I mean, very, very strict government intervention, closing the borders of countries, just shut them down. This closed borders right now in many parts of the world. England right now with a new strain of the coronavirus is under severe shutdown. I got an email from Brother Roger Harris over in England, and he was saying that they have shut England down. I mean, a lot of countries are not letting English vehicles even come over there, and English trucks, and they just shut down the industry. Shut down the business, shut down travel. I mean, who would have thought travel be shut down? Airline industry shut down. Sporting events shut down. Music events shut down. I mean, we're talking about trillion-dollar businesses shut down, and then we're talking about massive business closures all over the country. Retailers, restaurants have taken a beating. 100,000 restaurants closed, they say, that will never reopen. It's been a year of fear. Who would have thought? Canceled Mardi Gras. Yeah, there are some things we rejoice about, you know. Cancel Halloween. I'm okay with that, too. Of course, I wasn't too happy about the Thanksgiving thing, you know. But that, and then they even shut down Christmas for many people. See, I don't tell anybody, but I don't have a problem with that either. You know? Yeah. But you know, something fell upon our world in 2020. It was like a dark shroud that just sort of covered the nation, covered the world, this dark shroud. And everything under that shroud was constantly bombarded with fear. And it's still continuing. It has been a year of fear. It has been a year of unrest, a year of great unrest in our nation. I remember back in the 70s when there were rioting and burnings in parts of the country. I do remember that. But do any of you ever remember a political season this divisive, this tumultuous, this angry, this bombastic? The division, the political division in America, it's always been there, but it was really accented this past year, and that's not gone away either. The most turbulent presidential election that I remember. And then you've got these protests that broke out all across the nation, and that you know, generated a whole lot of fear in a whole lot of people. So much anger, so much outrage, marches, protests, demands, looting, burning, rioting, threats, destruction of property, disregard of people's lives or businesses, and fear just spread across America. I do believe that 2020 was a very disturbing year in a lot of respects. The coronavirus gave fear a lot of power. I mean, who would have thought they'd close schools? They'd close universities. They enforce these social distancing restrictions. They close churches. They name certain businesses as essential and others non-essential. Church, non-essential. But important businesses like liquor stores and abortion mills, they were all labeled as necessary and essential. It's amazing some of the things that were, while everybody else masked up, let me tell you, there were a lot of things that were unmasked in 2020. And what was unmasked was the evil in a lot of our politics and in a lot of our government. A lot of evil was unmasked in it all, and I don't think it's all finished yet. They told churches in some parts of the country, you can't meet. In fact, they told churches don't meet at all. And for a while, you know, the whole country was on lockdown. And then they said you can meet with, what, 10 people? And then after that, you can meet with 25 people. But don't sing. Don't sing. No music, no instruments. Very strange. But the big box stores, you know, the big giant retailers, I mean, I didn't see much restrictions there, really and truly. You had to stand in a line to get in. But other than that, it was, you know, some churches were threatened with we will close you down, we will confiscate your property, we will arrest you, we will handcuff you and bring you to jail. Some churches were they were threatened, and the mask came off, and many were revealed to be the devils they actually were. But you know what that did? That generated just more fear across America. It's been a year of fear. And then that's not even to take into account what we dealt with down here in the Gulf South with the unprecedented hurricane season. I mean, we had a hurricane every other week. They not only went through the entire English alphabet, then they started going through the Greek alphabet. Alpha, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Iota, Kappa, Lambda, Nu, Nu. I mean, I don't know how far they went. We ate 8 or 9 letters into the Greek alphabet. How many storms can there be? And you know, when you got a hurricane every other week, that generates a lot of fear. We could expound upon this and talk about an uptick in violent crime, murder, violence of every kind, carjackings, robberies. It's been COVID and crime. It's been the virus and violence. It's been, I'm telling you, 2020 for many, many people has been a year of fear.
Amen.
It's been a year of fear.
Yes.
Fearful of so many things. Fearful to leave the house.
Yeah, some are still. That's right.
It made a lot of folks recluses.
You're right. Yeah. Amen.
Mandating these stay-at-home orders. I mean, kids stay at home, don't go to school. You know, kids have a hard time, many of them, socializing to begin with.
Right.
And some, nowadays, you know, with everybody playing with their phone and their computer, they haven't developed social interaction skills like we had to talk to people.
Right.
They put you in a classroom, you got to talk to the kid next to you, and you actually had to learn how to get along with them. And if they hurt your feelings, you get over it. But now it... We tried not to do that too much, but I mean, you lock these kids down in isolation and you force them to, I mean, you, okay, now you got to stay home with your computer. Really?
Right.
Now they even become more of social, lacking social skills and so forth. But
Amen.
People so afraid that if they go out, they're going to be exposed to the virus.
Right.
Afraid to go back to school, but then you hear others afraid not to have school. You know, if they don't have school, what's going to happen with the kids? What's going to happen to their education? They're going to fall behind. So many social anxieties since 2020. It makes people afraid of strangers, afraid of their family, afraid of church, afraid of crowds, afraid of people, afraid of interactions. Afraid you might run out of toilet paper? You know, they even had a shortage of soup. Did you know there was a soup shortage?
No.
Spaghetti, weird stuff. I mean, who eats that? I mean, sanitizer, I understand, but soup? Soap? Yeah, a lot of fear. Afraid to open their business, but then afraid to keep it closed.
That's right.
If you open it,
more mandate.
Are we going to be protected from lawsuits? Because, you know, there's so many Morris bots out there. They're just ready to sue everybody for anything.
Lord help us.
Yeah. You can't turn on the news without seeing 25 commercials for piranha fish lawyers.
Amen.
It's people are. It's been a year of fear. You know, if you wear a mask, people say, "Well, you're just being controlled and manipulated by the government."
Right.
If you don't wear a mask, try going out without a mask. Somebody's going to want to strangle you. Or hit you, or curse you, or whatever. I mean, what do I do? I wear a mask? Don't wear a mask? Do I go out? Do I not go out? Then think about those who have loved ones and they've been in nursing homes or assisted living homes. Can't even go see them. Shut that down. They're like prisoners in there. No visitors. Oh, hospital was like that the same way. I mean, fear of the virus, Now fear of the vaccine. Fear if you do, fear if you don't. It's been a year of fear. Fearful about what's going to happen if the other party gets elected. We're going to lose our freedoms, lose our rights. We're going to all be socialists, or what's going to happen. Afraid to travel. Want to travel. Afraid to travel. Worried if I'm going to have a job. Worried if I'm going to have a business. Worried if I'm going to have an income. So many uncertainties. So many fears. Fear of what the new normal might look like. You know, there was fear before COVID, right? Fear existed before COVID. But you and I have to remember, we can't let fear of any kind dominate our lives. We have not been given a spirit of fear. That doesn't mean we're stupid. It doesn't mean we act foolishly or rashly or unwisely, but fear must not be allowed to dominate our lives. It must not. Fear is the enemy of faith. Fear is an enemy of faith. That makes fear an enemy of God. If fear is an enemy of faith, then fear is an enemy of God. And that makes fear your enemy as well. Fear is the enemy of the believer. Our faith, after all, must rest in the promises of God and in the power of the promiser, the one who made the promise. That's where our faith must rest. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. That's not the spirit that you were given. You were given the Holy Spirit, the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. Fear discourages people. Fear paralyzes people. Fear paralyzes people into inaction. You know, and you know what it plays on? It plays on your mind, your rationalization, your reasoning. It plays on your sight, your feelings, your hearing. But you know, you and I walk by faith and not by sight, feeling. Fear undermines your faith in all of God's promises. Fear will undermine faith, pull the rug right out from under faith. According to the Bible, there is such a thing as a spirit of fear. There is such a thing. And you can be certain that that spirit is not from God. It did not come from God. Amen. You know, the word that's translated fear right here in verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear. This is not the normal word for fear. The normal word for fear is the Greek word phobia, from phoba, and it means what you would normally think of as fear. This word, this is a different word, delia, it's the Greek word. It means fearfulness. It means cowardice. This is the only place in the whole New Testament this word appears. It's the only place it appears. And I definitely see a connection between 2 Timothy 1:7 and Acts 1:8, where the Bible says that God will, you will be my witnesses, that you will receive, you wait for the Holy Spirit, and you'll be my witnesses. You'll receive the power of God from on high. Look, there's a difference, a distinct difference between the spirit of fear that leaves us powerless, weak, cowardly, and the spirit of faith, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of power that motivates us and activates us. Amen. The Holy Spirit is greater. He gives us the spirit of courage. He gives us power to act, to perform our duties, our responsibilities. Amen. All in accordance, of course, with the Word of God. And then this section right here in 2 Timothy 1:7, he's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Albert Barnes, the old 1900s American theologian, he translates this, power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind is a mind under the right influences. A mind under the right influences. Which means that a person with a sound mind makes choices and decisions based on the right influences, which would be what? The Word of God. The right influences of the Word of God. While fear makes its choices and decisions based on the wrong influences. What influences might those be? Well, any of the influences of the world. What things feel like, what things look like, what other people are doing, what your imagination runs away with you and says. You know, there is an example that really stood out in my mind as I was preparing this past week. And it's a very familiar example to all of us, but I would like for you to go with me back to the Old Testament, to 1 Samuel chapter 17, to the account of David and Goliath. If just this is the example that came to my mind. I know it's familiar to most of us. Nevertheless, I think there are a few things here that we can bring out today in light of our message that we're going to leave behind the year of fear. Amen. And make 2021 a year of faith. And faithfulness. Amen. So let's make our way over here, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 17, where faith in God in a young man overcame fear of the giant. Faith in God helped the young man to overcome what he saw, what he heard, and what everybody else said. And helped him to overcome even the fear of his own death, because, you know, fear paralyzed the entire army of Israel in this account. Fear paralyzes. Amen. So if you're in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1 says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongs to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah, in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines." So here the scene is being set. There are two armies, two mighty armies opposed from one another. Verse 3, "The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them." So there's the picture. There's the scene. One army on one hillside, another army on another, and down in the valley, that's what separated the two. Verse 4, "And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." And depending on how you measure the cubit, generally a cubit was about 18 inches, we think. This would make the giant somewhere around 9.5 feet tall. Some believe he could have been as big as 11 feet tall. If that's his size, he probably weighed somewhere around 400 pounds, 450 pounds. Verse 5 says he had a helmet of brass on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, which is estimated somewhere between 125 pounds to 250 pounds. It could have easily been double 125 pounds. So you've got a gigantic man of enormous stature with armor, heavy, heavy armor on him, armor that it would probably crush us to death. And he had greaves of brass, things protecting his legs, a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, just the head of his spear, somewhere between 15 to maybe as much as 40 pounds, just the head of the spear. How are you going to throw that? But imagine if you had the might to throw it, the damage it could do. I mean, all the armor you could put on is not going to protect you from that spear. And not only did he have all of this armor, there was someone, he had one, an armor bearer, bearing a shield, who went before him. Now that's the stage. The armies on each side, the valley in the middle, and this giant of a man, this beast of a man. And notice the threat, verse 8. And the threat is very real. He stood and cried to the armies of Israel. He's crying out to them, and he said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. The threat was right in front of them. This was not a hoax. The threat was real. The threat was intimidating. And notice their response, verse 11. When Saul, now Saul's the king of Israel, the chief of all the armies of Israel. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. When they heard the words of the Philistine, now you know, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Faith is generated by hearing and hearing the Word of God. But this verse tells us fear comes that way also. Fear comes by hearing and hearing unbelief. Fear comes by hearing and hearing doubts, threats, what ifs. Doubt comes by hearing. Fear comes by hearing. Fear comes by hearing over and over of the dangers, the threats. Now look, they all saw the giant. They could see the threat. They could see his enormous height, his size, his weight. They could see his weapons, how powerful they were. Don't you think that was intimidating to see? Not only did they see the giant, but they heard him. They heard his threats. They heard his threats not once, not twice, but according to the Bible, they heard his threats twice a day for 40 solid days. They got their news at 6 and 10, every day on time. Twice a day, morning news, evening news. Of course, over here we get our news all day, every day. But look, verse 16, look with me down to verse 16. Verse 16 says, the Philistine drew near. That is, he walked up so that Israel could hear him. He got down in that valley and shouted so they could all hear. Morning and evening, twice a day. For 40 days. And everybody hid. Boy, you know, that's a lot of threats. When you hear fear morning and evening, every day, You know what's generated in your heart? Fear. Because fear comes by hearing. Just like faith comes by hearing, fear comes by hearing just as well. You see, a sound mind is a mind that's under the right influences. An unsound mind is a mind that is under the wrong influences. So the question we would ask is, you know, ourselves, of course, is we have to make sure we're under the right influences, that we're listening to the right voices, and that we're getting our wisdom from God and not from the devil. So here's the giant. He's threatening. He's twice a day bringing the news to them, the bad news. We're going to skip down to verse 24. This is a long chapter. I won't take the time to read it all, but there are sections here I do want to read. Y'all know what happened. I think for the most part, I would recommend you read the chapter again, maybe when you get home. Young David, who was out feeding the flocks, was told to bring some food to his brothers who are out on the lines hiding with all the rest of the armies of Israel. He goes out there and he heard the threats too. Yeah. Verse 24, if you'll skip down there with me. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, that is, when they saw the giant, they fled from him. And they were sore afraid. They fled from him, and they were sore afraid. They saw the man. Well, I can imagine them saying, have you seen this guy? Have you really seen him? I mean, this is a threat. This is a genuine threat, right?
Yes.
Who wouldn't be afraid of somebody this size, really and truly? And when they saw him, they fled from him. They fled from him. Let's get as far from this guy as we can. And they were sore afraid. I'll bring this out in a little bit, because when David faced the giant, he ran toward the giant. Everybody else fled from him. David ran towards him. But they fled from him. Who wouldn't? When you see the threat right there in front of you, so intimidating. And of course, you know, the Bible also tells us down in verse 33, when David went to go before the king, and the king told him, you know, Goliath, he's been a man of war for his whole life. From his youth, he's been a man of war. So, you know, all of these men that are hiding, they may have known people that the giant killed. They may have known soldiers, maybe valiant soldiers, maybe... I mean, that's a possibility that this giant just made mincemeat out of. So they're all intimidated. Verse 26, David spoke to the men that stood by him. What will be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away this reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And so they told him what would happen, whoever kills the giant would be greatly rewarded. Verse 28, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. You little pipsqueak! I mean, can you imagine you come here and you insulting these soldiers of God? You left those few sheep in the wilderness. I know your pride. I know the naughtiness of your heart. You come down, you just want to see the battle. David, of course, says, is there not a cause? David actually volunteered to fight the giant, and they decided they would bring him to King Saul. Here's a young man who says he'll fight the giant. Verse 31, Saul sends for David. David said to King Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, because of this giant. I'll go fight him. Saul said to David, don't always expect people to encourage you, by the way. When you're going to take a bold step of faith, don't expect that people are going to encourage you. Saul said to David, are you crazy? Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You can't go fight him. You're a kid. David was probably maybe 20 years old. You're a kid. And he, well, you seen him? He's a giant, and he's a man of war from his youth. He's a killer. This is what this giant does. He kills people. He's been a man of war his whole life. I mean, Saul's advice wasn't altogether wrong. He's a giant. You're not. He's a lifelong soldier, has killed many, 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 many men. You're not. Besides, he's powerful. He's got these enormous weapons. You're not. I would just remind you that any time you are going to step out in faith and actually trust God, you will not be encouraged by the world, by the timid, by the fearful, and even by those who are supposed to be the leaders. You're not always going to be encouraged. Look, Saul was not a very spiritual man. If you've ever read or studied King Saul's life, he was not a spiritual man at all. That's why God removed him. But he certainly had no words of encouragement for young David. Those who have been indoctrinated under the wrong influences, you can't expect them to give you sound biblical advice. I mean, imagine, y'all following me? All right, let me give you an example. Just imagine that you've come under conviction by the Holy Spirit and you really feel like you need to do 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, let every one of you lay by him in store on the first day of the week, so that there be no collections when I come. You know, as God has prospered him, let every one of you, this is about us giving to the work of the Lord, giving to the church. And so Paul gives this advice, let every one of you on the first day of the week, that's when the church gathered, as God has prospered him, lay by him in store, so there be no collections when I come. Paul didn't want to be having to take up an offering. You take care of that every Sunday. It's what you're supposed to do. Let every one of you, there's an obligation to us all, lay aside, as God has prospered, because some can give more, some can give less, but everybody can give something proportionate to their income. That's the idea. All right, let's say you come under the conviction that you should give proportionate to your income, and I believe every Christian should, and you tell your unsaved, unspiritual friends, co-workers, family members, or whatever, you know, I really believe I'm going to start giving regularly to the church. And let's see how much encouragement you get. Let's see if you're going to get encouragement from them, or if maybe their wisdom is from another source. You see, there's two sources of wisdom. A sound mind makes its decisions from the right sources, which would be the Word of God. Whereas an unsound mind makes its decisions based on what others say, what others do, reasoning, feeling, sight, emotions, hearing, whatever. Because, you know, you're going to get what David got from King Saul. You can't do that. Amen. You can't do that. David says, I'll go fight the giant. You can't do that. I'm going to start giving regularly. You can't do that. You don't make enough money. You won't have enough to live. You're stupid. Only gullible people do that. And the preachers just want your money. You know that's all it's about. The preachers just want your money so they can fly around in their own private jets. Well, the point being that every Christian has to learn how to recognize the voice of fear, which will speak to you from a different source, not a right source. The voice of fear will discourage you from doing what you know you ought to do. So it will certainly discourage faith. Fear will discourage faith. But faith is not irrational. People will say, well, you know, you just blind faith, just blind faith. Faith is not irrational. Faith is based on sound reasoning. It's based on sound reasoning.
Amen.
You still have your Bible open here, right? Verse 34. Look at David's faith, okay? David said, hey, I'm not an idiot. He's answering Saul. Your servant, he's talking about himself, kept his father's sheep. There came out a lion. There came out a bear. They took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after them. And I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. I killed a lion. I killed a bear. And I'm going to kill this uncircumcised Philistine just like that, because he's defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Now there, this is not illogical. He told him what happened in the past. And you know what Saul said? The Lord be with you. Go. I mean, how can you argue with that? You know, faith is not illogical. Faith is not unreasonable. It's just based on information from the right source. It's based on information from the right source. God is faithful. God promised to be with me. God will preserve his name. So he says, hey, go do it. Go to it. Now I'll tell you what David did not do. While he was bold and courageous in going out after the giant, he was not reckless or foolish. He did not tempt God. You know, the devil's always trying to get us to tempt God. He tried to get Jesus to tempt God.
Right.
Jump off the roof of the temple. Prove that you really are God. Prove to everybody. Give them a sign. Jump off the temple. Well, Jesus wouldn't do that. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You're not going to just try and put on a show, put on a display. You don't do that. You trust God in your circumstances, but don't put yourself in a position that you shouldn't be in. Tempting God, in other words. So David was going to go fight the giant, but he wasn't being reckless. He didn't go out against the giant unarmed, for instance. Now, that might have been reckless. If you go out unarmed, yeah, nah, 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 you can't hit me, you know. It's just... No, he went, but he had a sling. Well, you know, the king Saul looked at his sling and he said, no. If you're going to go fight him, then he says, you're going to fight him with my armor. Now, verse 38, look at this. The king Saul said, yeah, you can go. The Lord be with you. And Saul armed David with his armor. Now, the king is letting him use his armor. Well, you know, this is an honor. This is the best armor there is. The king, wouldn't he have the best of the best? And he put his helmet of brass on his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he wanted to go. He essayed to go. He prepared to go. But then he said, I can't go fight with this. I mean, David's a young man. He's never fought with armor before. He's not a soldier. He's never trained with all this armor. You know how much armor weighs? All this armor, it would weigh him down. It would be so cumbersome he couldn't move. Goliath throw a spear. I can't move. It'd have been dead if he'd have fought in Saul's armor. David said, I can't do battle in this armor. I have to use the weapons I know. I have to use the weapons I have proved. I have to go in my own faith. I have to go with my faith in God and not in your experience. Not, I can't base what I do on what you do. I have to go fight with my sling. Now, we tend to think that a sling is nothing. But in ancient days, a sling was a formidable weapon. A sling, an experienced slinger could hurl a stone 100 miles an hour. It would go further than a javelin, sometimes further than an arrow shot from a bow. 100 mile an hour stone. In fact, National Geographic had had an article just about 2 or 3 years ago about the ancient sling, some of the slings they had uncovered and what they could do in ancient times. 3,000 years ago, they said a sling from an experienced slinger would hit the human head with the same force and do the same damage as a .44 Magnum bullet. That it would take off the top of a human head. A .44 Magnum bullet is a very powerful bullet. Well, a stone thrown with accuracy from a slinger, take the head right off of somebody. Take the top of their head right off. This, let me tell you, slingers were valuable in the armies. They could throw stones over the walls when they were laying siege to cities. They throw the stones over the wall, kill people inside. They wanted slingers, and some of them were accurate beyond belief. They started training them from the time they could walk to sling these stones. Well, look, David had killed the lion. He killed the bear. He wasn't defenseless. He wasn't being reckless. He wasn't being presumptuous. But he was going to put his faith in God. He was going to trust the Lord. And he was going to go out with the weapon that he knew. Amen. He knew he couldn't fight in Saul's armor, but he would go and fight. You know, we're all facing giants in our lives. I mean, we're all facing giants, and each of us is a David in many ways. Everybody's afraid. The whole world is afraid, just like Israel's army. Everybody's afraid, afraid of everything. But you and I cannot be dominated by this prevailing spirit of fear. We have to be men and women of faith, not reckless, not careless, not presumptuous, but at the same time, not cowardly, not listening to the intimidation and the threatenings of the world. We all have to fight these giants. The trials, the troubles, the afflictions, the tribulation. We're all fighting giants in some way. And we have to fight them with the same weapon of faith that David had. His faith, well, he trusted his sling, but his faith was in God. Amen. He said, the Lord's going to deliver you into my hands. Look with me in verse 41. I just want to jump up here. The Philistine came and drew near to David, and the man that bare his shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? You're going to come beat me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, by the Philistine gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Again, the threats, the intimidation. David said to the Philistine, he's not intimidated by this giant. Everybody else was intimidated. The guy is so big, you can't kill him. David said, yeah, he's so big, I can't miss him. He says, verse 45, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David doesn't say, I come to you with my mighty sling. I come to you with my great skill. I come to you with my cunning, my ability. I'm lighter than you. I can dodge. No. I come to you in absolute faith in the God of Israel. And this day, God will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take your head from your shoulders, and I will give your carcass. I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth will know that there's a hero in Israel. No, that there's a God in Israel. David wasn't out for fame or glory. He was out to defend the name of God. And all this assembly will know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And you know the rest of the story. The Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, and David ran, toward them, not from them. He ran towards them. David put his hand in his bag and took from there a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the giant with a sling and with a stone. He smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. He didn't even come with a sword. So he took the Philistine sword, the Goliath sword, and he pulled it out of its sheath, and he cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, now they were the ones who was afraid. Yeah, the fear just swept to the other side. What a difference a man of faith can make, or a woman of faith can make. You know, faith, real faith that acts on its faith, that actually lives by faith, lives what it says, is a contagious thing. Fear is contagious. Fear swept through the Philistine camp. That's all they had to see. The giant dead. Fear swept across them. But you know, fear had swept across Israel's camp. But faith is contagious also. And if you are a consistent man or woman of faith, you will influence others. You will influence those around you. They will see in you what they don't have. Courage, confidence, fearlessness, faithfulness. Not that any of us are perfect human beings, but they see in you what's lacking sorely in them. How do you face the uncertainties of this life with such calm? How can you go through the trials you are going through right now without falling apart? It's because I fall instead on my knees. Amen. And I put my faith and confidence in the promises of God who never fails.
Thank you, Lord.
Who will never fail.
Amen.
David was not intimidated by a bellowing giant. He wasn't afraid, even though he got his news at morning and evening, you know, all the threats and so forth. David's faith in God would not be shaken.
Amen.
And beloved, 2020 has been a year of fear.
You're right.
We're going to take this year of fear and put it far behind us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to encourage us one and all. It's not that the giants won't stop coming in the new year. But let's face them with courage based on the right sources. Courage based on the right sources. That would be on the Word of God, the clear, sound teaching of the Word of God.
Right.
We have a God greater in us than anything that's in this world.
Amen.
Let's face 2021 with courage, with faith, and with the determination to be faithful. You know, I always like to encourage people at the end of the year, as a new year is approaching, to make some commitments, to make a commitment to read through the entire Bible this year. If you've never done that before, if you've done it 20 years in a row, I encourage you to read through the Bible each year. It's real easy. You can pick up a one-year Bible. It divides it into daily sections. Or you can find those things online.
Yeah.
But pick that up. Read through it through the year. Commit yourself to being faithful in prayer.
Amen.
Commit to prayer. Commit to fellowship. And let's remember, God's not given us a spirit of fear. He tells us, Isaiah 41, let me close with this. Isaiah 41, 10, fear thou not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Now, let me ask, is the Lord going to be with us in the new year? Do not be afraid, for I am with you. You know the Lord's with us every day, every step. Every moment of our journey, every trial, every adversity, every decision. You know, when you're afraid you're going to make the wrong choice, fear thou not. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. He goes on. In Isaiah 41, he says in verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not. He'll hold your hand, saying, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Let's make 2021 a year of faith. It'll still be a year of trial. It'll still be a year of danger, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It may be a year of trial, but it will not be a year of fear.
Amen.
Father, we pray that you would encourage us today. Encourage us, Lord, to be men and women of faith who stand on your word, who trust you, whatever our trial, our adversity, our affliction. Help us, Lord, to stand fast, to stand firm on your word, which is the right source, the right source to stand on. Let us be led by the right source and not the wrong. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we choose to put 2020, the year of fear, behind us. And Lord, to go forward, to trust you, to stand on your word and your promises, to live for you, to be bold, to be courageous, not foolish, not reckless, but courageous, knowing that we have firm footing when we stand on the Word of God. It's our prayer. It's our prayer for this body. It's our prayer for this church, for each individual, for each family that we represent. Let 2021, Lord, be a year of faith, a year of faithfulness, a year of deliverance from the giants that threaten us and plague us and seek to hinder us. Lord, deliver us this year from the giants. Always, always, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.